Hello, we're back. This is Dean Gocher. I would encourage you to get on to my website, authorityresearch.com, and read the articles there. Quite a bit of information on the dialectical process and how it has affected our communities, our nation, and even affected our life. It is our very fallen human nature. Now, this is the very foundation of the Antichrist, this dialectical process. In fact, everybody is guilty until they're proven innocent in this process, because the guilt is you insist there's right and wrong. That's a patriarchal paradigm. And not until you're put into a pressure environment and you're observed on how you're responding. If you're responding on a right and wrong patriarchal fashion, then you're going to be re-educated, another term for brainwashing, which means you have to put in a diverse group of people over social issues, which is going to put you pressure on you. Because you're going to be in a cognitive dissonance environment. Part of you wants to hold your position, and the other part of you needs the approval of those around you, because your future, you know, and if you own a business in town, your future depends upon whether you're going to be a team player. And if you're not a team player, people just aren't going to do business with you because you make them feel bad. So that's how it works. It puts you in this cognitive dissonance position between your belief and your behavior, because your natural inclination, as we saw in the garden, is to relate with the creation. That's your natural inclination. Your natural inquiry is to the things of this earth. That's why you have to deny yourself. If you don't deny yourself, you're going to go the way of the world. If you don't humble yourself under God, so you're going to go to the way of the world, because the law of the flesh will take you to the world. It's the body of death. Now, Rogerian psychology, picking up where I left off, he had stated in his book on becoming a person, this is Carl Rogers, the good life is not any fixed state. And he's implying a patriarchal right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, I'm above, you're below, do what I tell you to do. If you obey me, you're blessed. If you disobey me, you're cursed. Jesus said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. That's a fixed state. When he said, it is finished, it's a fixed state. Righteousness is imputed to those who believe. That's a fixed condition. So he's saying, no, that's not the good life. The good life is change. Have you heard the word change lately? Then he says the good life is a process. It's a procedure. Of course, we see, according to this process, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, Eve did a process, the dialectical process. And therein, the good life was she was free to be herself. There wasn't a neurotic experience in her life. He continues. He says the direction which constitutes the good life. See, now God directs our steps, but not in the dialectic. No, the direction which constitutes the good life is psychological freedom to move in any direction where the general qualities of this selected direction appear to have a certain universality. In other words, that means if a group of people come into a room and the environment is structured in such a way, or there's something in the environment that they all naturally wanted to relate with. See, Eve was tempted, Adam was tempted, both were tempted because there was something, there was a certain universality. That's the flesh. Something in the environment stimulates the flesh. And then there's this general quality, which is the sensuous need to relate with whatever it is. You may not be aware of it, but you have to be made conscious of it. Because up until then, every time you went by something you were told you were not to relate with, you would avoid relationship with it. Because every time you would approach it, there would be this dread. There would be this dissonant state, in a sense that, you know, if you did it, you'd be caught. You know, you would die. You know, if you obey me, you're blessed. If you disobey me, you're cursed. And so, may not know what that means in full detail, but it's enough to let you know that your natural inclination is to avoid pain. And so if you go in the direction of your senses, your sensuousness, then pain would be inflicted upon you. So to avoid the pain, you obey higher authority. Of course, that's considered neurosis to psychology. So he's saying psychological freedom is where you can move in any direction, where the general qualities of this selected direction, you're selecting the direction, has a universality to it. In other words, it's common to mankind. And what is common to man? All of this of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. But dialectically, it's not lust. That's an intense desire. No, it's just you being yourself. Boys will be boys. Then he writes, when the individual is inwardly free, in other words, you don't have this conscience, this guilty feeling in case you move in the wrong direction, this judgmental condition, he says, he chooses as the good life this process of becoming, because you never arrive. Because if you ever arrive, if it is finished, there's no more becoming. In other words, you don't need the process. So the process isn't successful till no one can escape. See, and so it hopes there's no one who can escape. Everybody participates. You know, we will leave no child behind. All children are at risk. This whole process needs that continuous crisis. It needs the conflict. It needs the disagreements. It needs antithesis. Without it, it can't move to synthesis. It can't overcome contrast above below. Its whole agenda is to remove this above below. I'm from above and you're from below. I'm right and you're not. To keep finding what is common with everything that is contrast, to eventually where there is no longer any contrast. Then he writes, existential living. This is Carl Rogers in his book on Becoming a Person. Existential living, that's experiential living, is to say that the self and personality, see, the real you, emerge from experience. So Adam and Eve had no true identity outside of their relationship with the experience to the environment, to nature. See, it all has to proceed from nature. And that's Karl Marx. You see, true science, this is a scientific process. They say use the scientific process. You know, use words like synergy and whatever. It's general systems theory. But the whole concept, the whole way of thinking is built upon experience. And therein, experience guides and directs us in the outcome. And our common experience is to relate with whatever it is in the environment that stimulated pleasure so we can get more pleasure. It's approach pleasure, avoid pain. He writes, Carl Rogers does, it means that one becomes a participant in and an observer of the ongoing process of organismic experience. Organismic experience. In other words, the experience of relationship guides and directs and justifies the use of the process. Now, the process itself develops, therefore, a continuum. It's a spectrum. Bloom's taxonomy, I've talked about it. It's a taxonomizing. You are taxonomized today. To buy and sell. See, you cannot buy and sell without the mark. And this mark correlates with the way you think, your paradigm. And so if you think patriarch, if you think right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, you're prejudiced. See, you're a segregationalist. You know, there are all kinds of terms, discriminating. And I'm not talking about race here. I'm talking about ways of thinking. See, if you discriminate, you come in and say, that's wrong and this is right. Then you are on the wrong end of the spectrum. And Rogers puts it this way. Individuals move not from a fixity through change to a new fixity, though such a process is indeed possible. Well, did you catch that? Now, there is a process that you can move from one position directly through change to another position, and they're both rigid. And he says, individuals... move not from a fixity through change to a new fixity. In other words, individuals don't do this. Well, so you can't repent. See, there is no message in this that righteousness is imputed. See, it's a process. You therefore must participate in the process. If you bring religion in, then it has to be a yin-yang religion. This is really what church growth is. Because you go in any so-called Bible study in church growth, it's going to be a yin-yang experience. You're all becoming. And you become because it's how you feel and what you think. Of course, those are ever-changing, and so therefore, every time you get together, you're having this experiential experience, this dopamine experience, this existentialist experience of changingness. You know, when you have to do something over and over and over again, it gets boring. You know, of course, see, that's what God deals with, your flesh, because the flesh needs the pleasure. The flesh needs the dopamine. Now, God's not against pleasure. He. In fact, you need to have some dopamine in you. If you don't, you're depressing. But it's not that man lives by bread alone. It's the love of it. See, it's the lust of the flesh. It's not, the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. But it has, because it has within it this love of the creation. And so you have to make the flesh subject to you. You have to humble yourself, and self loves the flesh. So Roger says right off the bat, there is no godly patriarchal paradigm. There is no contrast in life. Right off the bat, this is Karl Marx. There is no God. And see, Christians are using this. They are absolutely deceived. Because he says, oh, there's not this right and wrong anymore. It's a spectrum. He says, but through a continuum, see, individuals move through a continuum from fixity to changingness. So they did start with fixity. Well, where did that begin? All of social psychology goes to the home. The fixity begins when a parent gives a child a command and says, you better do what I tell you to do, and if you don't, you're going to be chastened. The very same structure that God told Adam. You better do what I tell you to do, and if you don't, you're going to get chastened. See, and chastening goes with right and wrong. If there is no right or wrong and you're chastening somebody, then you're a sadist, and if they accept what you're doing, then they're a masochist. Hope I got that right. You know, in essence, if you believe you need to obey God and you believe your children should obey you, you know, a husband's rule, you know, and so therefore you're practicing that patriarchal paradigm in your home, you're a sadomasochist. You can't escape that. That, folks, is the very, you're going to underline it, you know, write that right at the top. You know, anybody who thinks right and wrong in a family structure, parents are to rule or inculcate in their children and the children are to obey them, that is sadomasochism. Okay, underline that, write that at the top of the page, and underline it. If it's a 10, 11-inch page, just scratch it all the way down. I mean, put that in bold letters. That is social psychology. That you can't have social psychology without that foundation. There is no fixity. There is no absolute. Because feelings are always changing. And so your child might like what you're telling them to do right now, but they're going to change their feelings. It's going to get bored. They're going to get bored, and they want to do what they want to do. And you tell them, no, you sit there and you do what I tell you to do. You memorize, see. You get yourself under control. Oh, you know, the whole world system can't work without people not being in control of themselves. Because if you don't control self, self is following the environment. The environment that stimulates the pleasure, and then self follows the pleasure, and you have to get self under control. With your mind, you love the law of God, and therefore you get the flesh under control. But he's negating all that. He says, now this whole taxonomizing of your children in the classroom, this is Bloom's taxonomy. Every child in this nation are classified based upon this continuum, this spectrum. From rigidness, do they come from a home that teaches them right and wrong? That's a neurotic environment. That's an unhealthy environment for the child. To changingness. In other words, you're adaptable to change. The environment changes, you change with the environment. That is environmentalism, humanism, socialism, communism, globalism, bunch of isms. He says, from rigid structure to flow. From status to process. Then he says, the qualities, that's a feeling, the qualities of the client's expression at any one point may indicate this position on this continuum. Their position on this continuum may indicate where he stood in the process of change. And so the key to the social engineers and the teacher's training with Bloom's taxonomy, it's all about data, feedback loops, taking assessment tests, all kinds of activity in the classroom today, the group grade, all of it is evaluating where along this spectrum your child has moved. It's an incremental process. Then this is how he sees it. He sees seven steps. This is Carl Rogers. He says, number one is there's no desire to change. Otherwise, your child just comes in, or your legislator, he's not going to change. He's not going to move from his principles you put him into office. Your child's not going to change from the standards you gave him. And Rogers puts it this way, what we need to do, if we're doing this process, and this is all Satan did with Eve, to provide the experience of being received in play or group therapy, where the person can be exposed to a receiving climate without himself having to take any initiative for a long enough time to experience himself as received. In other words, don't kick him out. Just, come in. You don't have to participate. In fact, we really don't want you to participate right now because you're going to bring in this right and wrong way of thinking. You're going to bring in judgmentalism. So we would just prefer that you sit and we all come around and say, oh, we're so glad you're here. And we like your presence. And, of course, you have to sort of do some research before the person shows up to know where they are along the spectrum, because the further along, the more readily they're adaptable to the change and the ability to participate in the process. This, by the way, was kindergarten. Kindergarten was deliberately designed as the first experience for the child to be separated and removed from a top-down patriarchal system, to socialize him. Now, we thought, well, it's okay for the kids to learn how to get along with one another. No, it was a direct attempt to destroy, annihilate. Karl Marx says, once this traditional patriarchal family that teaches its children contrast, this is right and that is not, and chastens or has a threat of chastening, if you don't obey, it's a top-down system. He says, once you realize that traditional home is a secret of God, because God has the same paradigm, then the traditional home must be annihilated. And that's a powerful word. And so the whole agenda is not annihilation by shooting the father figure, because this all comes from the father figure. It is by now the dialogue. So men like Walter Benjamin, Marxist, studied scripture. How did Satan do this? Eric Fromm said, it is Satan, the symbol of wisdom and rebellion, see, that in essence delivered man from this patriarchal, jealous God of Adam, see. And so number two, the step is, once you've been accepted by the group, that's going to bond. See, that you're wanting to be a part of this group, but you're off to the side, and you're a little leery, you're a little cautious, you're being discerning. And then experience, secondly, is bound to the structure of the past. So now there's going to come a time before there's going to be resistance. If the slight loosening and flowing is not blocked, in other words, if finally the child begins to relax and to see the fun, he's wanting to be, it's play. There's barrier behavior, your principles, and play, belonging with a group. That's the butting of two heads. We all have this. The playing is the laws of the flesh, to be a part of the creation. And the barriers are the commands of God, or the commands of the parent. If the slight loosening and flowing is not blocked, in other words, if there's another child that happens to be there and says, oh, you better not do that, or the child thinks about what the parents would say, if it's not blocked, then there is still further loosening and flowing of symbolic expression. In other words, now there's going to be empathy in the child to participate with a group. And so the whole agenda is not to say cannot, must not, thou shalt not, because that brings the language of the patriarchal home into the facilitated meeting, into the therapy. It's simply an approval environment, an encouragement to participate in the process. Then he said, experiencing is described as, in the past, non-present feelings and exploring the self as an object. So here's his quote. He says, the client feels understood. Oh, we know how you feel. I can feel your pain. Welcomed. We're so glad you're here. Doesn't that make you feel good? Received as he is. And so, again, this is warmth. That's all Satan was doing with Eve. Hey, I care about you. You know, the heart is deceitful. You're never deceived because somebody lied to you. You're deceived because you trusted them. Love everyone, trust no one. Take every thought captive to the, look at the system, obedience of Christ. Take everything captive to, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because what did he do? He took every thought, he made it captive to the word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. So he's saying in this stage three, the client feels understood. Feels understood. That's Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs. Self-esteem is always group esteem. Then number four, he said, experiencing is less bound to the structure of the past. Now, interesting, they have switched in the taxonomy switches from above below to the past, present, and future. Because see, the commands you come into the room with were given to you yesterday. That's all Satan approached Eve with, is this continuum on the flesh, on the world, in the creation. Because God in the past had told, you cannot. But Eve was in the present with her feelings and the tree and a desire to relay with it. And then Satan, the whole structure in dialogue is there's things of the past. There's something in your past that obstructed you from being yourself. And now we're in the present and you have the opportunity to discover your full potential. Be a stakeholder in change. See, and overcome these obstacles of the past. Carl Rogers, counseling a woman in her later years, he said, why are you keeping the promises you made to your father who died 20 years ago? So the whole agenda is to move this up, down, this contrast, light and dark, above, below, into past, present, and future. And so those who are patriarch, those who are holding to right and wrong, are just holding to the laws of the past, and they're not adaptable to change, and they need re-education. And so you just shifted everything. It's not a shift, it's a change. The lie is a shift. Oh, I didn't change a little. I just threw my feelings into the formula. Now my feelings become as important. See, everything, you have to weigh somebody's feelings before you say anything. So Rogers writes, if the client feels himself received in his expressions, behaviors, and experiences at the fourth stage. In other words, now he's open-ended. He can talk about anything. There's no put-down. So now he can share his oddities. My parents ought to let me do this. God ought to. That's what Eve was saying. Well, I ought to be able to touch it. It's interesting. You take one little step, and boy, it doesn't take you long to take a whole bunch of them. See, that's the loosening of the flesh. And so once you feel received and accepted and loved and bonding, see, then in your expressions, your behaviors and experiences at the fourth stage, then this sets in motion. Notice today it's emotion, you know, email, it's emotion, still further loosening. And the freedom of organism flow is increased. In other words, your sensuous need to relate with whatever it was in the environment that stimulated it. Approval of men stimulates pleasure. Lovers of men, that's what that's all about. So your child in kindergarten is learning to be lovers of men because the group is doing a group hug. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to have that. We ought to love one another. But let me tell you something. Because of the flesh, we can love no one. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus loved the Father, and in obedience to the Father, he went to the cross. He did not go to the cross for you and me in his flesh. He came as man with the flesh, but it was his Father's love. He didn't go as a social cause. If it would have been his flesh, see, he was the Son of God, the Son of Man, but he came in the form of man. And so if he would have been in his love, he would have gone to the cross for a social cause. But he went to the cross because of his love for the Father. Father, you have given these men. I have been faithful to you. That's John 17. And so the love of man is always selfish. What can I get out of this for me? Father, is there another way? See, thinking about yourself, is there another way? But nevertheless, thy will be done. That's God's love, is obedience to him. Well, you won't find that in Rogerian psychology. In fact, you won't find any love of God in psychology. A Christian psychologist cannot have the love of Christ because he loved the Father. He was obedient even to death. You don't ask people how they feel and what they think when you have the Word of God and you preach and teach it. They come under conviction and they obey God no matter what any other man on the face of the earth says. Period. But no, experience is the foundation. If the client feels himself received approval of men, God is not a respecter of men, in his expressions, behaviors, and experiences at the fourth stage, then this sets in motion still further loosening and the freedom of organismic flow is increased. Oh, isn't it? This is just despicable, folks. And yet this is everywhere across this nation. This is from the White House. This is the process that's going on in Europe. This is the process in every nation of the world when they're the Council of Foreign Relations. Whenever you get these institutions together, these facilitated meetings, and they do their group hug, this is what it's all about, is moving people progressively into the buying, selling of souls, because you buy and sell souls based upon the approval of men. Why do you go out and work? Isn't so you can have stuff so that people say, oh, wow, look what you've got, you know? What can I get out of this relationship for me? You work for people, and you cannot love in your natural self without, what can I get out of this relationship for me? Can't do it. That's the law of the flesh. The environment stimulates dopamine. You're looking at the environment to get more. You meet somebody you like. Why do you want to hang around with them? You love the feeling. Yeah, that's self. That's selfish. And then number five, he says, feelings are expressed as in the present. In other words, it used to be you just presented the past according to them. In other words, you speak the word of God. Now, Jesus said, every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God, because they don't recognize a living God. Their God is dead. Wow, just got started, out of time. Encourage you to get on my website, authorityresearch.com. And again, I'll close with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he is the one who directs your steps.